Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fired Up with CJ, I have Amy Pennington, an author of two books, Apartment Gardening, that is just coming out, and Urban Pantry, a classic that should be in your bookshelves. So, Amy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. I got your book, and I looked at it and said, I don't have enough time to do gardening.
And then,
and then we had a conversation, and I thought, you know, I can do this. So for Mother's Day, you'll be proud of me. I went out, and I took my containers that were full of dead items in my garden, and I put live items in there. It's so exciting.
Good for you. Is there anything edible, or are you doing flowers?
I did everything that you recommended in your book. So I didn't do flowers because I didn't really understand. I got a chrysanthemum, and that's a flower, right? It's an edible flower.
Yeah.
And then I got lemon balm. I got lemon balm and lettuce. And what else did I get? Basil and fennel. So I'm so excited. I went berserk, basically. I went berserk. I was intending to just get a couple of lettuce, and then I walked away with a whole cart of things that I hopefully won't kill in the near future.
Well, you know, everybody does. They over, you know, it's just like our eyes are bigger than our stomach. It's the same thing. Our eyes are bigger than our pot.
Yes, I think that's true. I saw a lot of other people with gigantic gardening carts full of things that maybe I wonder if they're going to live or not, but hopefully they will for the sake of the plants. I know. So I loved your book. I love the fact that it was so eclectic. It is the best book ever. And for those of you who haven't seen the book, it's called Apartment Gardening, and it has everything in it, from just really, really basic things on how to start a garden, like soils and what kind of plants, and then kind of fun, creative things like creating a worm bin or lip balm and recipes. It was just so awesome. I loved your book.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the book was really written with an urbanite in mind. So it's called Apartment Gardening. Obviously, apartment, condo, same kind of thing, or anyone sort of living in a small space or with just a patio. You know, a lot of my friends have townhomes and they don't have proper yards either. And so I just kind of channeled all of my friends and people that live in the city who really want to grow food at home but maybe don't have as much time because life is active or they just don't have as much space. And I tried to put together a book that would lead to a successful garden, because I think a lot of times there's a lot of information out there in the marketplace and it does get a little bit confusing. And so I just tried to distill it down to just very simple small-scale projects that were easy, that anyone can do anywhere in the United States, and also that produce something for your table. Because there's really, like, if you're going to go through the trouble and nurture something for 2 months before you can harvest it, like, it really better put something on the table. I didn't want to have super fluffy stuff. And that's where you get into the lip balm and the facial toners, because a lot of things that grow very well in pots are your florals or your scented plants with the oils. And so it's just really like making use of everything. Everything is edible, but I sort of went above and beyond that to just kind of just have a very productive space.
Yeah, and I think that that was one of the most interesting points I didn't even think about is how productive a plant is. And you know, I've actually had, I can't remember what plant I grew, but it had strawberries. And I got like 3 strawberries throughout the whole summer, and I thought, seriously? All this watering, and like I maybe got like 3 edible strawberries, and the rest were picked off by various little animals in our neighborhood. It didn't feel very good to spend that much time and then get an unproductive kind of garden. So that was one of the points I thought was great. So tell me a little bit, like I thought I read your book and I thought it was interesting because you didn't start off as a gardener, or you did, or no, tell me a little bit how your gardening started off.
Well, I started off actually growing food for people in their yard a few years ago. And basically my friend Jimmy had some friends and they wanted to grow their grandmother's tomatoes like she has in Italy. And so Jimmy called me and he said, oh, you should really grow their garden for them because they want these tomatoes. And I just thought, I can't possibly do that. That's ridiculous. And he was really encouraging. And he's like, yes, you can. You know all about food. You're all about food and farms, because it's just always been a passion of mine, agriculture, food. I mean, I am definitely a food person. And so that's kind of how I got started. I got started because they asked me to, and I just, like many things in my life, thought, all right, sure, I can do that. And when I started growing that first year, my friend Marcus was helping me, and I kind of looked up at him and I was like, you know what, Marcus, this is the most intuitive thing I have ever done in my entire life. Like, I didn't need instruction. It wasn't confusing to me. I didn't have questions about how many seeds in a place. I mean, it just was really very natural, and I imagine that could only have come from my childhood. So I grew up out in eastern Long Island, and my mom and dad had a little family homestead. So we had a big vegetable garden in our backyard. We had goats for milk. We had chickens and ducks. We raised turkey and rabbit for meat and a pig and stuff like that. And so, I don't know, I think it was through just childhood and osmosis and just a general inclination to it or something. I don't know. I hung out with farmers long enough. So that's how I started. And then from there, I had transitioned all of my pots on my patio from, you know, originally I started out with flowers like most people do. And I thought it would be, I have this great little tiny apartment and the balcony actually is pretty big by comparison. And so the first year or two I moved into the apartment, I just filled it with a bunch of flower pots. It was really beautiful. That a lot of people do this. And then eventually I started transitioning slowly but surely over to edibles. And then, you know, it's sort of like one day you wake up and you're just surrounded by food. I mean, it was never like, I just have an edible garden. It just happened really slow. So that's kind of, it's a big melting pot of all of those things kind of coming together. And that's sort of how I ended up where I am today.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm going back to what you said about the gardening being really intuitive. Now, I didn't live in a homestead, or I never had any parents that did any. I didn't have any ducks or turkeys or pigs in my house. But you know, I don't know if I know what I'm doing. However, I did stick my hand in the soil, and something did take over. What took over? I don't know. The gardener within me kind of took over, and I kind of knew what to do, even though I really. No, granted, I read your book. That helped. But is that what you meant? What did it feel like for you when you reach that intuitive moment and you're like, yeah, I'm there?
Yeah, I mean, it just I didn't even really consciously think about it. And then, you know, we were halfway through and it just felt really right and natural. And a lot of times people, you know, when they're starting gardening or anything for that matter, you have lots of questions. And it just was a very natural thing. I don't know how to describe it. The moment was really not anything, you know, it wasn't like I had this big, like, you know, it just.
Epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
The heavens from above didn't come down and strike you.
No.
So tell us about your books. I know that you have one book coming out, and you told us a little bit about that. Tell us more about your book and the other one that you have out, The Urban Pantry, and what you wanted to really inspire with readers.
Okay, good. So my first book is called Urban Pantry, Tips and Recipes for a Thrifty, Sustainable, and Seasonal Kitchen. And Urban Pantry was born of the idea that you can actually live a very self-sustaining lifestyle in a city, that you don't actually need to be a farmer in order to preserve. And so that book really addresses keeping a well-stocked pantry, keeping things around that you have to cook all the time that are both healthy for you and very easy to do. And then also kind of gets into preserving and growing a little pantry garden, I call it as well. It's just herbs mostly. And that book came out last April, on April 12th. And then this year, Apartment Gardening just came out the same time, April 11th. And it's Apartment Gardening, Plants, Projects, and Recipes for Growing Food in Your Urban Home. And as we said before, it's really, that book is for, it's a very realistic and honest approach at growing food at home for people who are interested and want to produce something, but maybe don't have a ton of space or time.
Got it. So folks out there, this is your time to call and ask Amy any questions that you want on gardening or the urban pantry. The next segment is going to be about gardening and then the following on urban pantry, but call us 800-930-2819. We have Amy Pennington, author of a new book that we just talked about, Apartment Gardening, which will inspire the most reticent gardener to grow food. That's me, the reticent gardener. On Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, we're going to talk about creating your first garden in Amy's book on apartment gardening.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractors.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Hey Hey, in case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Amy Pennington on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Amy Pennington is a food enthusiast who builds plants and tends edible gardens for city folks in their backyards on Fired Up with CJ. So welcome back, Amy.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about first-time gardening, and I don't know, tell us about your first-time gardening experience and what you'd recommend for folks who are just starting.
Well, okay, so there's two different garden experiences that we can talk about, one of which is growing in containers, so in a very small space, and one of them is growing, you know, in the ground, and they're really very, very different. Yeah, so for first-time gardeners at home who have a backyard or a front yard or something, and actually for any first-time gardener, what you really have to consider are a few basic things that plants need: water and sun. And so a lot of times, both my clients and just friends, they want to grow things, whether it's in pot or in the ground, and they say, I'm going to put my garden here. And oftentimes the here is because that's what works with their landscape. So it could be in the corner of your yard, or it could be, you know, on the side of your house or what have you. But the thing that you have to consider is that plants, edible plants in particular, really need direct sunlight in order to grow and prosper. So at bare minimum, you need 6 to 8 hours of direct sunlight a day.
Wow, that's a lot. Okay, so there's probably not a ton of spaces that really have that, but okay, so that's the first thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of, right. And it just depends on where you live in the country. I mean, you know, in Seattle, for instance, we get really great and long afternoon light. I mean, it's light here. It's only mid-May, and it's light. You still have ambient light in the sky until 9 p.m. So, for, you know, like, it is actually, there are a lot of places that get direct sunlight. It's just, you just have to be mindful that it's happening. So okay. Once you have direct sunlight, you basically then can choose your spot. So I think the most important thing to remember is just choosing a spot that's true and correct, so that you're minimizing your risk of issues later on. You know, it's nice just to kind of eliminate problems off the front, so that if problems arise later on, you'll be able to know that it's obviously not your light or your water or whatever.
And you qualified it as edible plants. And is that because they need more nutrients, more, you know, energy to grow? Why specifically for those kind of plants that they need direct sunlight?
Well, edible plants, we are eating either the leaf or the fruits from those plants. And so in order to get the maximum nutrients, you really want to make sure that they're going through a very natural plant cycle of a strong photosynthesis. They have chlorophyll in their leaves, which make them green. And that also, any plant that is a fruiting plant, so that goes from an apple tree down to a pea pod. It's anything where you can kind of snap a fruit off of a plant, so zucchini, tomatoes, that sort of thing, raspberries. They need direct sun, and that sun converts starches to sugars, which is why as the seasons go on, if you think about it, fruit gets sweeter. So if you eat a peach at the beginning of the, you know, at the end of July when it's just coming in, it might sweet and really tasty, but in 3 weeks when they're kind of soft and it's sort of the peach where you bite into it and the juice drips down your chin, and it's all sugary and sweet, that's because the sun has sat on that fruit and converted the starches to sugars. So for edible plants, we're eating it, and so you're just more aware of it. And, you know, a lot of landscaping plants are conditioned to grow, you know, with dappled sun or with not a strong sun or shade. You know, like, we have forests all over the world, and therefore plants have acclimated to having this kind of shady canopy. But you don't really, no one stumbled upon a lettuce plant in the midst of a forest, you know?
Yeah. So does that mean, like, is that true then for, like you had mentioned, like fruit, the things that have fruits and edible leaves, is that true for herbs too? Like, do they need, cause, you know, my little tags so that it could partial sun, but is that really true? Or can they do okay? I mean, I know they're not landscaping pieces, but do herbs, are they okay in like partial sun conditions?
Yeah. I mean, 6 to 8 hours is partial sun. There's 24 hours in a day. So that's only 25% really of your day that you 8 hours is actually not that long. I mean, my deck off of my apartment faces due east, and I'm on a body of water, so I get the first rays of sunshine, you know, as sun rises over the mountains, and then it's tucked behind my building. I mean, it comes up and over my building, and it's gone by 11:30 or noon. And I grow a lot of things there.
Wow. Okay. Cool. So, tell us a little bit about like mistakes that first-time gardeners make. And so, the first thing sounds like make sure that you think about the location and make sure that you have direct sunlight and then water.
Exactly. Yep. You got it. Now, the next kind of issue that you see chronically, if you're growing in a backyard in a ground, the issue is that people are overcrowding the space and not leaving enough space between plants. And for many people, if you're growing in pots, the biggest problem is that people are choosing the wrong size pot for the plant. Mm-hmm. And so when you're growing in an apartment or in a container gardening, you really have to consider the fact that just by nature of what you're doing, you're putting a plant with living roots and living cells into a pot, and you are prohibiting its growth. Mm-hmm. Like once that little root hits wall of the container, that's it. It can't grow anymore. So you're kind of keeping it into this really condensed, small shape. That's why bonsai trees are often in those little tiny pots, because you mm-hmm. only want a little tiny bonsai tree. Mm-hmm. And so it happens often that people overcrowd their containers too, or they put, you know, a plant that has a really strong, prolific root system into like a medium-sized pot, and that it just won't do well. It won't die. And that's why a lot of people say like, oh, things didn't grow for me, I have a brown thumb. And in fact, I've seen people keep plants alive for a long, 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 long time. They just don't continue growing and getting really big because there's no room for them.
Interesting. Cause the chrysanthemum, I can't pronounce it, but I got one of those and it's in this gigantic pot. Cause I think that's one of the ones you're like, put in a medium pot. So I was like, and it looks ridiculous cause it's like, you know, 2 inches tall and it's like a 16 inch, diameter pot. And I was like, really?
Do you only have one plant in there?
Yeah. Cause I thought, well, I don't want to overcrowd it. Maybe that's too much.
Yeah, you can get away with putting a few more in there. And that's really because what you're eating from the chrysanthemum are the leaves. And it doesn't really matter if the plant ever gets to full maturity, you know, and really goes to flower. So that one, you can put more in there. I would put at least, you know, probably five or six more in there, CJ.
Okay. It looks so lonely.
Yeah, it probably is. But that's kind of like, That's almost an exception to the rule. You know, if you were growing, if you had the same kind of really big pot, you would only put one charred plant. How's that for comparison?
Okay. All right, so tell us a little bit other. You said there are a couple other steps, things that you'd give some first-time gardeners. So water in some location, make sure that you don't overcrowd because you need to actually have space for that plant to grow and be productive. What other kind of things?
Exactly. Well, water we kind of skimmed over, but it is actually pretty important. So for anyone growing in the ground, a lot of people hand water, and we have this tendency to think that if we hand water for 5 minutes, it's enough water, and oftentimes it is not. And also with pots, especially in the heat of the summer, you really need to water probably every day, if not twice a day on really hot days.
And so
the best way to judge if your garden is getting enough water is to water it in the morning, and then in the evening, dig down just a shovel deep, you know, a hand shovel deep, and stick your, or even like the length of your finger is fine, and test the soil down there and see if it's moist in any way. And if it's moist, then you're okay. You've done a good job watering. But a lot of times you'll find that that is actually bone dry. So it doesn't need to be soaking wet. You know, you don't want to like grab a big fistful of mud, but it does need to be just kind of cool, just moist, like it has, if someone had just spritzed a little spritz bottle on it.
Okay, got it. And that was one of my big questions because I didn't really know how much water to give my plant because I thought, well, it seems like it's fine. It just rained, and so then I thought, well, it just rained. But is there a different watering cycle in the very beginning in the plant, like versus in the summer? So a lot has to do with the conditions around it too. Is that right? I mean, in the summer, you'd want to water it more, but in the springtime, like in Seattle, where it's raining a lot, I thought, well, I probably don't want to overwater it too.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. And also, you know, the temperatures, the days get longer, temperatures get warmer, and therefore water evaporates faster. It's really that simple. And so the best way, again, just every few weeks, just, you know, keep putting your finger down there or getting a little shovel in and just kind of giving your area a test. because every yard and every garden and every apartment container is different. You're going to have variables. Maybe you get a lot of wind on your property. I don't get a lot of wind from where I am. And so it really depends. And so the best judge is to just kind of stick your hand in there.
Stick your finger there and become a scientist.
Yeah. And
I love it. I should have listened more when I was in science class, because I think they taught me all these things, right? When they were talking about photosynthesis, it's sun, it's water. These are energy things that the plants need to grow. I mean, it seems like the obvious kind of thing, but things that you kind of forget, right?
Yeah.
So direct sunlight 6 to 8 hours a day, water, the little tip of sticking your finger in there, making sure that it's based kind of like spritzer moist, kind of moist. Don't overcrowd your plants. Great tips for first gardeners, first-time gardeners. Amy Pennington, the creator and owner of Go-Go Green, who speaks internationally is an avid gardener and is an author of 2 books on Fired Up with CJ. Amy, tell us your website. It's gogogreengarden.com.
Gogogreengarden.com, yep.
Okay, so she's on Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, we're going to talk about her book, The Urban Pantry. So if you got any questions on gardening or urban pantry, give us a call, 800-930-2819. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful! Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Hi,
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. The segment on Fired Up with CJ, Amy Pennington, author of The Urban Pantry, one of Amazon's best cookbooks of the year, and a book that recently won Tree Hugger's Best of Green Awards. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. I know that was bananas.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so tell
great.
Us about your book. It's funny because I told you about this earlier, but you know, in our pantry, I've never really thought about the notion of a pantry and what should be in a pantry. And in our pantry, I had to look up what a pantry was in a dictionary to understand what the concept was.
What's there? Yeah.
And in our pantry is a bunch of toilet paper from Costco, so that's probably not super helpful.
No, so, I mean, you could eat it, I suppose.
What's the idea of a pantry, and what the heck should I be having in my pantry, and why?
You know, back in the day, the pantry was kind of the room to the side of the kitchen, off the kitchen, that was used as storage of some kind. And so the pantry now, it refers to kind of your dry storage of foodstuffs in this case, or in the case of Urban Pantry. And so the pantry is really just kind of any home cook's go-to resource for any food that they have. And so the premise is that if you actually stock your pantry with food, like whole foods, that you minimize the time needed to spend at the grocery store. It's much easier to pull a meal together, like you sort of lose that whole, oh God, I don't know what to make for dinner tonight kind of idea. And you can make food on demand. So the pantry is broken down, yeah, and it's broken down into a few sections. So in writing the book, I basically just kind of went through my own pantry and broke it down. And so there's a few basics. There is a whole grains section. That often includes, you know, whole barley, some millet, some quinoa. My pantry is kind of crazy. It's not like a normal person's, but it's like brown rice, white rice, whatever. Whatever you want as a whole grain. There's, I keep a bunch of dried legumes, so beans and peas. There's always chickpeas, always a bean around, whether it's a black bean or a pinto bean or something. And they're all dried. And then I always make sure to have eggs. Always, 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 because in a pinch, an egg can make a meal. It's a very good source of protein. It's a 5-minute meal from start to finish, and they're super affordable. Not only that, you can eat eggs for breakfast. You can make a very healthy dinner with an egg. You can make desserts with an egg. So there's an entire chapter dedicated to eggs.
Okay.
Nuts are also a great pantry staple, particularly if you're a vegetarian. Because nuts add a really healthy protein to your diet, and they also are very high in fat, the kind of the good fats that you're looking for in a well-rounded diet. And so nuts are good to have on hand. They make quick sauces. They can be used in desserts. They're just sort of like they can be used in a myriad of ways.
What are the nuts if we opened up your pantry? What are or a normal person's pantry? what would we see in their nuts? Well, nut pantry section.
I think you would see a bunch of nuts that they used when they made their Christmas cookies. So you would see half a bag of walnuts, maybe some chopped pecans, a bag of almonds or sliced almonds. And that's what I think you'd find in most people's kitchens.
Okay.
Do you have any of those things?
Yes, I have all of those things.
See?
And I have peanuts.
And peanuts.
And here's the thing. So there's whole grains, legumes, eggs, which you wouldn't put in the pantry, but I think have around, right? Like you wouldn't. You put your eggs in the refrigerator, right? So whole grains.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just in the sense of keeping a well-stocked pantry. Like the thought is that if you have these things around 24/7, you'll always be able to make many meals. You know, breakfast, lunches, dinners.
Okay. So then nuts, and is there anything else after that? Whole grains, legumes, eggs, nuts. What else?
And then I think the other important thing that people should always have around, well, of course, everyone should have a fresh, you know, I do have a section in the book called Kitchen Essentials where I call out a few items that everyone should have at home. And I think everyone should always have, you know, a big bag of greens, whether that's sauteing greens or salad greens or broccoli or whatever. You need fruits and vegetables. And so I always have some fruits and vegetables around. But for the refrigerator also, I make sure to have some form of dairy, so either milk or yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then because those can be used, like yogurt can be used as a condiment, you know, like I just made a turkey burger at home really quickly this afternoon. I had about 15 minutes to eat lunch. I made a quick turkey burger really fast, and then I just covered it with a big spoonful of non-fat plain yogurt, some mint leaves, and a cucumber slice, and it was like done. You know, a nice, healthy, low-calorie, delicious lunch.
Wow, excellent. Okay, that's amazing. Okay, so question for you.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually good. Like, I'm not a really fancy cook, but I do have a lot of these items in my pantry already, or what I thought was, you know, I didn't know what to call it. But how long do these things keep? I'm always wondering, like, okay, how long has this millet been in here? When should I chuck it? When is, how good does it last for? How long is it good for?
Well, so grains, I mean, everything, I mean, not everything, but things do have a tendency to go rancid. So grains can go rancid too and kind of lose their flavor or maybe turn a little bit bitter. I mean, as a general rule of thumb, you want to try and work through your pantry like every 4 months at most. And so that's why the book is titled Urban Pantry. It's presuming that the pantry is a little bit of a small space. It's not called like the stockpiler's pantry. and the thing is, if you buy an ingredient and it's sitting around for a year, you either need to like A, use that immediately, or B, just don't buy it again, because it means that you actually just don't eat it, you know, and there's no reason to have stuff lingering around filling our shelves if you're not going to actively use it. So all of the things that I call out in the book and all of the things I just spoke to you about here, legumes, grains, that sort of thing, you want to work through your pantry. Like, the pantry should be ever evolving. And if it's ever evolving, you're really upping the odds of eating healthy, because you'll have a nice, well-rounded, you know, ingredient list to choose from.
Right.
And it also just kind of keeps your palate fresh and awake. I mean, you know, a very, very common complaint, I'm sure you've done it before, I've done it before, my friends do it, is like you get tired of eating the same thing. People get into food ruts, you know?
Right.
And that's
right.
Because you always have the same things in your cupboard. So I really implore people to stop buying the same thing. So if I run out of chickpeas, I don't go immediately and replace the chickpeas. Then I'm like, okay, well, now I have green lentils, so I have to use those. Now how am I going to use those? And then I get down to like one or two things left. Then I start restocking the pantry.
And that's so simple, but it's amazing to me. That's great advice.
Yeah. So you know, you want to buy things in small proportions. And if you're I live by myself, although I often have someone over for dinner. I seldom eat alone. So there's always at least two of us, if not four, just the way it happens. But I don't need to have a lot of things. So if I go to the store, I really encourage people to find a grocery store by them that sells things in bulk. And that way you can buy things in really small quantities. And you know, like, I made, rice pudding the other night, and I used a half a cup of rice pudding, and it served 8 people. You know, you don't need
that
2 pound eggs.
Yeah. Okay, I know we don't have that much time, but tell us a little bit about the canning and pickling with respect to what kind of stuff you have in your book, too, and why should we do canning and pickling?
Well, yeah, so there's a chapter in Urban Pantry called Small Batch Canning, and it's called Small Batch Canning because I don't have proper canning utensils. I don't have a big canning pot. There was no way I could even fit in my tiny kitchen. It just would not work. And so I use a stock pot or a pasta pot or whatever, and the pasta pot only holds like 4 or 5 half-pint jars, so you can only do them in little tiny batches. Furthermore, I don't really have a ton of room to store a lot of preserves, and many people don't. You know, the cupboards get full pretty darn quick. And so small-batch preserving is really just a way to extend the season. I do eat locally and seasonally, and I try and buy – well, I don't try. I do buy fruits and vegetables when they are in season. I don't buy them out of season. So if I see a bag of grapes from Chile in the store in December, I don't buy the grapes from Chile in December. I wait until the grapes come in September from the farmers here in the Northwest, and actually on the East Coast too in New York, grapes come in September, and I buy a bunch of them, and then I just preserve. So I make jams and jellies. I make fruit leathers. I do make pickles and relishes every year. I make herbed vinegars. You just basically pour vinegar over herbs, nothing too fancy. And that way I can eat fresh local vegetables all year long just out of my pantry. And it's a little quaint, I think. Many people think of preserving as like a bunch of farmers sitting around for hours. But like each of these projects, I mean, if you make a batch of pickles, it literally can take an hour from start to finish. And when you're buying produce in season, it's so cheap.
Okay, so recipes and stuff, just like your other book, or recipes in the Urban Pantry book, so I can kind of figure out how to do all these different things. And
Urban Pantry is purely a cookbook, whereas Apartment Gardening is almost purely a growing book, a how-to book, and each of them each of them speaks to each other, but for the most part, they're very different contents.
Interesting. Okay, guys, we have Amy Pennington, author of The Urban Pantry, one of Amazon's best cookbooks of the year, and who recently won the Tree Huggers Best of Green Awards on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, how can gardening and creating a great pantry enhance the quality of your life? You want to know more about Amy or listen to other shows like this? Check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or Amy's website, gogogreengarden.com. We'll be right back.
You dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
Thank you. Welcome back. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Amy Pennington, author of her new book, Apartment Gardening, and also the author of Urban Pantry. So welcome back. I wanted to talk about...
Thank you.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about, you know, the quality of life. We were talking before the show a little bit about the quality of life and the... I can't talk today. How the quality of your life can be enhanced through doing some of these things. Tell us about how your life has been enhanced or how one's life can be enhanced.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because I never set out to write books or, you know, have this job where I'm growing food for people in their backyards. It wasn't ever, like, a necessarily strategic intention. Mm-hmm. And the happy byproduct of the life that I found myself in is that it really does have a tendency to slow one down, which for me is very important. I mean, I get up at 6, I go to bed at midnight, I'm working all day, I'm running around. I talked to my dad the other day. He just moved to Pennsylvania. And he said, "How you doing, kid?" And I was like, I'm good, and busy, running around, whatever. He goes, "That's like always, life in a blender, you know?" So I have a very fast-paced life, and I think a lot of people do. I mean, you know, we're trying to have dinner with 6 people, and we're looking at dates in August. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, just by nature of having it be a slow, steady task, I think it's very enriching to anyone's life, really, to just kind of, like, you know, settle down for a minute and give yourself some quiet time. And a lot of times we don't have permission to do that in our culture and our communities because we are kind of all moving and shaking, which I really think is great. But it does, for me personally, it's been a fabulous addition to my life. So slowing down at the end of the day, going home, making a meal, you know, like, I know everyone's into quick meals and 30-minute meals, and those are great. But it's also really nice to just go home and put a pot of stew on and eat, you know, at 8 o'clock or something, a little bit later than everyone's totally normal or totally accustomed to doing. It's just, there's a certain rhythm involved, whether you're gardening or cooking and, you know, even, like, using your knife and that sort of thing. And it just has a tendency to slow you down. And really, it's a way for you to appreciate the little things in life, I think. We don't often have an opportunity to think about where our food comes from. We go to the grocery store and everything is there for us, beautifully wrapped, packaged, ready to go, you know. And so growing your own food really kind of gives you an appreciation of where that came from and how it arrives at your plate, because it's most definitely a labor of love. Whether you're a farmer or a big-scale commercial producer, you still have to wait for plants to grow. I mean, no one's magically figured out how to do it faster. I like it for that.
Yeah, the other thing I remember when we talked the last time is you said it's something you feel like you can accomplish.
Yes,
is that you who said that or someone else?
I did. No, you're totally right. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, you know, you see a project from start to finish in a very small period of time. So, for instance, I'm actually in the garden right now, although they let me come into their home and use their office. And I planted lettuces about 2 months ago, and I've been waiting, and they've just been really small, and they're not really going anywhere. And I pulled out a radish last week, and it was like nothing. It was like the lead in a pencil, and, you know, an inch long. And we had a little warm snap here in Seattle this last week, and I went out there today, and the lettuces are full, and the radish is now an inch long and fatter, and you get to see a project through from start to finish in a very short amount of time, and it just feels good. It feels like a sense of accomplishment. Like, you feel like, I can do this. And I think for a lot of people, you know, we're sheepish and no one wants to be boastful and everyone's really concerned about being modest. And it's nice to be able to experience success with something, and also just the fact that you can, like, you know, you're capable. Everyone is capable. Everyone has a green thumb. I refuse to believe that no one has a green thumb. Just a matter of making a little bit of time and just sort of seeing it through.
Are there certain things, like, that to get your head in the right space too? Because, I mean, what you'd said to me I thought was so useful, and the reason why I went to go get the garden is, like, oh, I'm going to be on vacation for a long time. I won't be able to keep it alive. And you said, okay, well, don't worry. It won't live, but just, and it may or may not live, but don't worry, you'll just start it next year. And I was like, oh, she gave me permission to kill
Yeah.
Plant.
Yeah, it's true. I see that a lot with my clients. You know, everyone's really worried. In the spring, I always get an influx of calls. And people are like, oh, but I'm leaving, or I don't have money now to build it, I don't have time, whatever. And I'm like, it's okay. Just start it when you're ready. And there's always something to plant. You know, it's like, it's supposed to be a really relaxing, beautiful, connective process. It's not meant to be kind of one more, like, thing you have to do. And, you know, any experience, good or bad, is a lesson.
If you don't get your garden, you didn't plant your seed, you know, just go out and do something else. Yeah, okay, that's good.
And you can fail. It's a very low bar of entry, and it's a low-cost experiment for people to try out.
And let's say you fail. I hope you don't. But let's say I do fail. Like, what's a way of looking at it next year to encourage me to go back and go, like, all right, I'll do it again? I mean, I'm sure there have been projects where you're like, well, that didn't work out. How do you get yourself back into the garden
it again? You know, I just think when I first started, before I really, like now actually, it's like the back of my hand, but I was hungry. I mean, I just love food. I like having it close at hand. And it's also a challenge. I'm a very competitive person. You know, like, God forbid you ever challenge me in Scrabble, I'll fight to the death. So,
girl, we gotta play Scrabble. I love that game.
it's a good, I think, to start again, like, you have to experience failure. And, you know, everyone fails things all the time. We run red lights, we speed, whatever. And, like, every day is a new opportunity to start fresh. So I think you just have to, you know, get back on the horse and try it again, because you've learned something from last time and you probably won't make the same mistakes twice.
Yeah, this is true. And if you do, I mean, there's lots of good resources out there too, right? I mean, if folks have issues, what are some good websites that you're like, you know, if you're kind of like, why is this happening again to my garden? Where do you go? Or where are some good places?
You know, I am a bad person actually kind of to ask for this, but, you know, gardening, you know, I would just Google is your friend. That's really, I think, the best place. There's a bunch of gardening websites and blogs that can be beneficial. I really, really like Sunset Magazine. So sunset.com has excellent articles on gardens and how to get them started in small-scale projects. That's a really great one. You know, my website is pretty good if you're looking for a specific thing. I do tend to talk about issues that my clients are having and questions that people send me. My friend Ray just emailed me from Spain, Madrid, this morning, asking me about sowing a seed. So gogogreengarden.com is a great resource. And then I think just, you know, books are really great. And you know, also local extension programs with universities have regional and timely information. And I use them a lot for preserving questions, gardening questions. You know, the other day I looked up a native elderberry plant because I needed herb varieties and I wanted sort of I needed some information, and I pulled up the USDA Native Plant Database. I mean, that was a very good tool, too.
That's a great one. I would never have thought of that. So these are great resources. I know that you have a bunch in your book, and I'll put some on the web, too, because I know I remember seeing a whole list on your book.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Amy. I learned so much. It was so interesting, and I'm excited about my garden.
I'm so excited for you.
So thank you for your advice on gardening and stacking your pantry. And folks, go out there and buy the books, because they're really well written and they're really fun to read. Thanks to Chris at WBLQ. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, it's the month of May. And in honor of spring, we have another show on food with Suzanne Simon and Bettina Stern, teaching us how to cook in season. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.